Good morning. Pastor New has taken a week off. Well, several weeks off. My name is John. Yes, I do look like New, but I'm not. We even sound alike, but I'm not. I'm John. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. I'm so glad Pastor New invited me to speak. And for the next 4 weeks, I'm going to share with you my personal stories with Jesus. But before we get to that, it's been a long travel. Man, you guys have these things now called social media. And I looked on social media, Pastor New was browsing around, and he showed me what's going on in this world today. And I saw that everyone got robbed this week at pump number 4. Is that right? All right, you guys missed that joke too. Okay, it's going to be a long day. Well, I'm here to tell you how truly, fully human and fully man Jesus was. Oh, by the way, you published my book. That's incredible. I didn't get a book signing deal. I didn't go on a book signing tour, but you all half my book. If you have it, go ahead and hold it up real quick. You published my book. That is incredible. I expect some money back on that because I heard that this is the thing now. You make money on everything. I expect some royalty. My brother and I were apostles of Jesus. Oh, my father, Zebedee, and my mother also knew Jesus. My mother was actually at the crucifixion. And I'm the guy that they refer to as the disciple whom Jesus loved. I was the youngest out of the 12. And I was close with Jesus, and Jesus brought me along were places that I was witnessing what he was doing when he was here on earth for 3 years. That I'd known the man. Oh, he was in Jerusalem way before that, but I was personally his friend. We call him teacher for 3 years. My purpose of coming here and traveling here is to tell you so that you may believe who Jesus Christ is, was, and in fact, he was the Son of God. Oh, after his resurrection, we began to take his message everywhere, from Judea to Samaria, and we began to travel in boats. We visit different towns. We even reach Greece. But Rome didn't like that so much. So Rome had a plan, and they set up traps, and they would arrest all of my colleagues. I myself was arrested. I spend the remainder of my years in the island called Patmos, where I die a natural cause death. I'm so glad Pastor New has the technology to bring me back to life to be your guest speaker. But my colleagues weren't so lucky. Some of them were executed in a very violent way. But that's enough about me. I'm not here to talk about myself. I'm here to talk about Jesus. And Pastor New asked me to cover just a couple of days right before he went on the cross. So my time is limited for the next couple of weeks, but I want to tell you as much as I can. Oh, there were many other things that Jesus did. And if we would have written it all down, there's no room on this world could hold the literature that was about Jesus. But I want to begin with when the Pharisees, the Sanhedrins, and the Sadducees got together to plan, to plot, to kill Jesus. But at the time, Caiaphas was the high priest, and he stood up and he actually prophesied. And I'm convinced that at the time, he didn't really understand what he was saying, to the limited knowledge that he had. But he stood up and he says, Jesus was supposed to die for the Jewish nation. And because of his death, he's going to unite all the children And at the time, his followers didn't quite understand or the magnitude of his statement, but they knew. But they took advantage of his statement as the high priest. And their thinking and their interpretation, well, since Rome is going to kill us, because if more and more people were going to follow Jesus, then Rome would just exile all of us. So we might as well just let one man die, then all of us dies under the hands of Rome. So at that moment, they plotted to kill Jesus. I met Jesus when he first set foot in Galilee. Oh, that day was a wonderful day. It was my father, Zebedee, my brother, and I were sitting on the boat on the shore there, and we were fixing our net. We're getting ready to go out fishing. It was early in the morning, and then this man, Jesus, walks by, and he says, "Come follow me." So we drop our nets, and we follow Jesus. And my father was unhappy at the time because we kind of got out of doing chores that day. We were following Jesus. You know, to think back, Jesus was a phenomenal fisherman. Oh, he taught us how to fish to a point where he was almost like showing off. Like one time he was walking by the shore and Peter was fishing. And all night, Peter and his buddies were not catching anything at all. Empty nets, empty nets, empty nets. And here comes Jesus walking by and saying, "Hey, why don't you drop your net on the other side?" Peter had no idea who Jesus was at the time. But here he is, this guy telling them, "Drop your net on the other side." So Peter dropped his net on the other side. And boy, did we catch fish that day. The net was so heavy, he had to call all the people to come over to help him pull the fish up. But you know, to think about it, Jesus was bold. No one ever comes to a fisherman in his boat and tell him how to fish. That's like rule number one. You just don't do that. But Jesus did. And he called Peter and he says, "Follow me. I will make you fishers of people." You know, I didn't know at the time, but Jesus was actually called us to spread the net, which is his words, and bring in as many people as we can. And here we are, 2,000 years later. Christianity is the biggest religion in the world. Because that day when Jesus says, "Drop your nets, I will make you fisher of people." And here you are doing the exact same thing. Because I trust that after you leave here today, you're actually going to tell people about Jesus Christ. Because that is the whole purpose of coming together to worship and to learn and to know, just like me and my buddies who learned from Jesus, and we went out and we start to cast our net. Isn't that awesome? You are participating in that. You get to tell the words that we learn about Jesus and from Jesus. But back to fishing, I heard Pastor New is quite the fisherman as well. Is that true? That's what I heard. I heard his boat sank about 500 feet of water because he forgot to put in a bilge pump. Is that true? I heard about that. The plug-in. Yeah, the plug-in. You have boats now. Like you have like boats with motors. Makes fishing so much easier. Some of you even have these diving things underwater. Like you're playing around with it to hunt fish. Those are awesome. But Pastor New loves to fish, doesn't he? Did he tell you the story the one time that he flipped his kayak and lost his car keys and $500 worth of fishing equipment? He told you that story. Did he tell you the story when one time he had 20 bonitas in coolers in the back of his van? Did he tell you that story? Oh, you didn't. So let me tell you that story. We were hanging out this week and he showing me the beach and whatnot, how beautiful Boca Raton is. So he was telling me the story that one time he has 20 bonitas in his cooler because his buddies who he go fishing with doesn't eat bonita. Well, we happen to love bonitas. And he says his moms know how to cook a bonitas because bonitas bleed a lot, which they do. So when you take a bonita, 20 of them, you put it in your cooler. What happened to your cooler? Full of blood. So he was driving on I-95 and someone brakes in front of him. So he hits the brake really fast and the whole cooler flip over and there were bonitas and blood everywhere in his van. Needless to say, he sold the van after that. Couldn't take the smell anymore. But he loves to fish. But to think about it, Jesus always clean up our messes, doesn't he? To think about it, I look back with my life with Jesus as we wander the roads of Jerusalem. I see Jesus constantly offering forgiveness, cleaning up people's messes. Doesn't he? Oh, one time we were out in a boat. We were crossing a lake. And sometimes Jesus is kind of like a show-off, you know? Like we were like, come on, man, you're making us look bad. But we were crossing a lake and a huge storm came. And so all of us were a little bit uneasy because we were so sure how we're going to make across the lake. And here from the distance, a guy walking on water towards us. And he says, it is I. Don't be afraid. It is I. And he got into the boat and we row across safely. Now for me at the time, I was like, well, Jesus, it seems like you have control over the fish where you fill the nets up with fish. It seems like you have control over the water. It seems like you have control over the storms. Why didn't you just meet us on the other side? Jesus, why did you make us row you across the lake? Jesus, you were walking on water. Why didn't you give us a little blow and then we just make it over there safely instead of making us row? It seems like he was in full control of nature. But to think about it, he was with us all along in the storms. He doesn't take the storms out of our lives. He doesn't take our boat out of the storm. He was just walking alongside with us the entire times in our storms, doesn't he? And you can hear the whispers of Jesus, and we can hear the whispers of Jesus. Even when we were going about spreading the gospel, he says, don't be afraid. It is I. It is I. Now, I want to cover the last couple of days of Jesus. We were getting ready for the Passover meal. Now, this is one of the most important meals in our culture we could have. We do it yearly. And on the table of the meal, there are a couple things that we eat that will represent what we call remembering what God did for us when we were coming out of Egypt. And we do this every year. We call it the Passover meal, right before Yom Kippur. And there are a couple of items that we ate, but some things I want to point out to you very specifically. We ate a boiled egg to represent the circles of life. We ate horseradish to represent the bitterness of slavery. We ate fruits and nuts to represent the times in Egypt where they were using us to make bricks. We ate the most important thing was the bread. Reminded us that God provided manna from heaven. And we drank the wine to remind us God had provided every step of the way. The tears were shed during our time in Egypt. But two most important things that we had was the wine and the bread. So during the Passover, we all were just leaning back. And Jesus' heart was filled with trouble. And he turned to the 12 of us and he says, surely one of you is going to betray me. So all of us were perplexed. Of course, I was sitting next to Jesus, and Peter was all confused because he's like, which one of us is going to betray Jesus? So Peter turned to me, who the beloved disciple who sat next to Jesus during the Passover, and Peter says, John, why don't you ask him who's going to betray him? So I was taking the advice from Peter, so I lean over to Jesus, and I said, Jesus, which one is going to betray you? And Jesus, the one that I dip this bread that I'm going to give to, is going to betray me. And he dipped the bread, and he gave it to Judas. After the bread gave to Judas, Judas acted a little uneasy, so he got up and he left. We didn't think anything of it. We thought Judas went to get more food. We thought Judas was going to get more for the Passover meal. And Jesus continues. He says, this is my body for you. And he says, this is the cup, the new cup of the covenant, being poured out for you. At the same time, we didn't know what he was talking about. So the way the meal works is that Jesus would drink a cup to start the meal. And after he drank the cup to start the meal, we would recite Deuteronomy chapter 26. And I'll read it to you. When you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, subjecting to harsh labor. When we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil and oppression, so the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and outstretched arms, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us his land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruit of the soil that you, Lord, given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow before him. Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given you and your household. So the purpose of this meal was reminding the sacrifice in Egypt, but also reminding the outstretched arms of God that brought us out of Egypt, out of slavery. All the food at the meal was reminding us the taste, the tears, the hurt and the pain of slavery. And after the proclamation, he would read Deuteronomy, and then we would eat. Oh, we had a great time. We were leaning back. We were laughing. Jesus taught us so many things that night. He prayed for us. But we ate. And after we ate, he picked up the cup and he says, this is the new cup of the covenant. The new covenant. This is my blood being poured out for you. And he says, do this in remembrance of me. And we all recited Psalm 118. Let's stand up and I'll read it to you so you can feel what it's like back then when Jesus read Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. When hard pressed, I cry out to the Lord. He brought me into his spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortal do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surrounded me, but the name of the Lord, I cut them down. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. They swarm around me like bees, but they were consumed as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them down. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tent of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand has lifted up. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die, but live. And will proclaim that the Lord, what the Lord has done, the Lord has chastened me so severely, he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, the which the righteous may enter. I will give thanks. For you answer me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it every day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who in the name of the Lord, from the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession, up in the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And all his people say, his love endures forever. Be seated. At that time, we had no idea that Jesus was actually talking about himself. At that moment, Jesus was reminding us what he's about to go through. He's going to be persecuted, executed, but he's going to stand firm on the Lord. At that time, Jesus is telling us this is what's going to happen to him. He was conducting his own last Passover with us, reminding us that his body, his blood, is what clean up our messes, doesn't he? Looking back, to think that Jesus washes Judas's feet. Looking back, to think Jesus took the bread and he offered it to Judas. Jesus took the way we'd had our communion or the Passover meals, we all would sit and lay back, and usually you would take a pillow and you would offer to somebody for their comfort. To think about it, Jesus offered Judas comfort, and he offered him a place at the table. To think about it, Jesus was staring right into the eyes of the person that's going to betray him and look him in the eyes and says, Judas, I love you. I love you. And I know what you're going to do. I know the mistakes you're going to make. I know the messes you created for yourself. But I'm walking right alongside you. I've always been with you. I'm going to walk with you in the storms, and I'm going to walk with you in your messes, and I'm going to pick you up, and I'm going to clean it up with you. To think about it, when Jesus taught us this new command after the meal, he says, a new command I give you, that you love one another. So the world will know that you are my disciple because you love one another. It wasn't a new command at all, because all of us growing up, we already knew this. It's the great commandment, the greatest, to love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. This is nothing new. But to think about it, when Jesus said it, what we saw that night, what he did at the table and the ceremonies, these were no longer ancient texts. These were actual, a person coming out of the page of the ancient text to show us what it's like to love somebody. What it's like to look in the face of your enemy and offer him a drink. What it's like to look in the face of someone who betrayed you and offer him food. Look at the ancient text become alive in the person of Jesus to actually what it's like to sit at the table with someone who hurt you and offer him a comfort place. Oh, I hope you take this message, and when you leave here, you understand what it's like to follow Jesus. We stare in the face of Rome and offer forgiveness. We looked in the face of our enemies who arrested us and put us in jail and offer freedom. We look in the face of people who stole from us, who offer us to the Roman soldiers and say, I forgive you because of these words of Jesus. And you know, to think about it, looking back at that table, Judas had a chance to turn around, but it was God's will. So I can't quite understand that, because his will was Jesus was going to go on the cross. But at that moment, Jesus was offering Judas something that no money was going to buy for him. At that moment, Jesus was offering Judas that no alliance is going to save him. At that moment, Jesus was offering Judas that there's nothing in this world can replace the love from God. So he took the bread. He offered Judas forgiveness because he says, this is my body for you. And he took the cup and he offered it to Judas and said, this is my blood for you. And all of us in this room, the same way, Jesus took the same thing and he says, this is for you. And he says, do this in remembrance of me. And at the table, is where the ancient texts of this Jesus become alive. And he says, a new command I give you. Love one another. Love one another. Because by your love, the world is going to know that you're my disciples. Amen. Amen. Let's stand as the band come forward. Well, that was John. You guys, I got to get back into Pastor New here. Same guy. This is a terrible way to dress back then, by the way. I'm glad we invented the zippers and the buttons. And it's gone. But in all seriousness, sometimes we make church so complex, don't we? We make church as if like this complex thing in the scripture. It's like this really hard thing to understand, but all it is the stories of Jesus offering complete forgiveness to all of us in this room. And we can walk away from here not take it seriously like Judas did. But we can walk away from here, be like the 12 apostles who took the gospel and completely turned the world upside down. And we get to participate in that. So my challenge for you for the next 4 weeks is to immerse yourself into the story of Jesus in the eyes of John. Next week's going to be the Garden of Gethsemane. And I hope you come back. But read it on your own as well. Leading up to Easter, we want to immerse ourselves in who Jesus was, fully man and fully God, in the eyes of John. But if you have questions this morning or prayer, or you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior at all, because that's kind of how they did it back then, really. They just kind of stood up and read the old manuscript. This is who Jesus was. And people were coming because they knew that it was God's word. So for you this morning, if you never accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you've never been baptized, I'm inviting you to take part in that. That God loves you and he offers you forgiveness. And you just need prayer. Our elders will be up here to pray with you. Or you don't have a church home and you want to make this as your church home, come forward. We'll pray with you and introduce you to the church as a body of believers and into fellowship with us. But don't leave here today not making a decision, because the ancient text came alive in the person of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you so much for all you've given us. If there's someone here today, I ask that you move in their hearts to take the step to follow you. It is in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen.